In the name of the one true living God, our Creator, Provider, and Savior. Dear friends, the Apostle Paul played a crucial role in the life of the Christian Church in the ancient city of Ephesus. It seems that he spent more time ministering there than in any other place. It was a congregation of believers who were, for the most part, culturally and religiously Hellenic. His epistle to this church reflects much pastoral concern. He wanted to build them up in the faith and assure them of their good standing and firm hope in Christ. They needed to know that their non-Jewish background did not deprive them of any heavenly blessing provided to all believers, regardless of their ethnic or social backgrounds. Paul wrote his letter to the Ephesian church while in prison. The third chapter begins by pointing this out. He says, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles." Dear friends, Paul, a former fanatical Jew himself, in the past was convinced that it was his divine duty to defend his Jewish race and promote his Jewish religion. At that time, he was convinced that Christ and his followers constituted a grave danger to both his religion and his Jewishness. This justified his proactive persecution of Christ's Jewish followers. Furthermore, he wanted to put an end to the spread of Christ's gospel. After his conversion to Christ, however, he spared no effort in attempting to convert Jews to Christ. He became fully persuaded that Jesus is the promised Messiah and tirelessly supported his conviction by Old Testament scriptures. He vehemently argued and proved from those scriptures that Jesus fulfilled what God revealed to Jews about the promised Messiah. Friends, when his efforts faced a great deal of resistance and rejection, Paul announced that he would turn his attention to the conversion of non-Jews, and he was blessed with much success. This even more strongly enraged his Jewish opponents. Some of them had a great deal of social, political, and economic clout in Roman circles. Friends, again and again, they managed to persuade the Roman authorities that Jesus and his followers constituted serious challenges and dangers to them too. After all, those authorities could see for themselves the growing numbers of converts to Christ from among non-Jews. So they joined non-believing Jews in persecuting Christians. This is why Paul ended up in jail. Yet he was neither discouraged nor persuaded to tone down his evangelistic zeal and active efforts to convince more people to follow Jesus. Dear friends, already in the first chapter of his letter, Paul spoke about Christ's redemptive work as a mystery. He wrote, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth." Paul was persuaded that Christ gave him the necessary apostolic wisdom and insight to reveal the mystery of his will. In the third chapter, he says to the Ephesian believers, "Assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Friends, in his prison cell, the Apostle Paul recognized that the church needed to become aware of why unbelieving Jews acted the way they did against Christ and his followers. The fact was, and still is, that unbelieving Jews do not understand what the New Testament apostles proclaimed and what the Old Testament prophets stated about the spread of the gospel and about the expansion of the church to include all nations. To them, these facts remained a mystery. Paul was, of course, referring to the very objective of establishing the Old Testament theocratic nation. God repeatedly said to Abraham that his divine call to him would result in bringing blessing to all families of the earth through a special person who comes through his physical line. This was the clear message of the Old Testament prophets. So, friends, the prophets Isaiah and Micah spoke of this taking place in the period called the last days, meaning the last period in human history, after which comes eternity. Isaiah's second chapter and Micah's fourth chapter begin by asserting that in the New Testament, the apostolic teaching identified this as the fullness of time in which God fully reveals himself to the world in Jesus the Messiah, promised to come through Abraham's line. Both Isaiah and Paul speak of Christ's saving grace, which provides forgiveness of sins and transgressions. We read in the 59th chapter of Isaiah, "So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. For he will come like a rushing stream, which the wind of the Lord drives. And a Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who turn from transgression," declares the Lord. Paul, on his part, says, "In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." Friends, in Christ, the saving promises are fulfilled. The mystery is revealed. Hallelujah.